Well, good morning, everyone. As you can see, Joe is not here this morning. He went and preached at Worship at the Water this morning. Steve was gone away to a wedding. So I am Carmen Harper. I serve Woodlawn as an associate pastor, and it is my immense pleasure to get to be here and share the message with you this morning. So over the past few weeks, Joe's been preaching the sermon series that centers around our behaviors. So, and you know, when we look back on them, we can be happy that we behaved in such a manner or wish we could have done something different, right? Or we could also look at the series in the way like we can be thankful to God for specific actions that we took, or we might wish to God we had done something different, especially in light of the fact that there is a day coming for us all where we stand before Him. So with that in mind, I'm going to recap what Joe's been talking about. So on week one, he set the stage for the series talking about godly wisdom and decision-making. Week two, he talked about listening to the counsel of others and not relying on yourselves and being a fool. Last week, Joe spoke about living generously. He said, you need to have a plan for your giving, and we should use our money in ways that provides peace for our future, right? Today, we're going to be talking about something that is fundamental to the Christian faith, and that's forgiveness. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word and for the ability to share it with others. Pour out your wisdom and knowledge upon us today so we live our lives in ways pleasing to you and in ways that are fruitful for ourselves and others. Teach us to do things your way and keep us ever mindful that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price and we are to glorify you with our lives. Fill this place with your presence and move us ever closer to you. Come, Holy Spirit. Light a fire in our souls and restore the joy of salvation to us. Rend the heavens and come down. Place revival in our hearts and sanctify us by your message. Use us to reach our families and communities. We lay all we have and all we are at your feet. We surrender to your will for our lives. Make us over into the image of your Son that we might reflect you to all who see us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, our main text for this morning is one with which we are intimately familiar if we've been in church for a while. In fact, in our traditional service, every Sunday we recite it. And sometimes when we become especially familiar with something, we don't give it the high regard that we ought. So I want you to listen anew to the words as I share them with you today. We're going to be reading from the New International Version, looking at Matthew 6, 9 through 15, if you want to follow along. But here is where we find what we call the Lord's Prayer. And it's part of the Sermon on the Mount here in Matthew. But in Luke's book, in chapter 11, it says that Jesus was teaching his disciples, and one of them said, "Hey, Lord, can you teach us how to pray?" And what followed was what we call the Lord's Prayer. So it's a model of how we should pray. So it says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Now, we don't like that, do we? Does that mean that we can only be forgiven if we are willing to forgive others? That's exactly what Jesus just said. Now, there are a couple of things that I want you to notice about this verse. Here in the NIV, the words are a bit different than ones we typically recite during our prayer time. Weekly, we say, forgive us of our trespasses. Here, the word calls them debts. And debts is a much better word choice for what the original language is trying to convey in this passage. The Greek word "ophiletes" is translated here means delinquent, one who fails in the performance of a duty, generally a transgressor or a sinner. And the idea here is the same as the one that Paul is trying to get bring to light in Romans 6:23 when he says the wages of sin is death. So someone sins and it creates a debt to God. And that's what Paul is saying here. And when someone sins against us, they lie to us, they betray us, they steal from us, they cheat on us, a debt is created. And when that happens, we have two choices. We can demand payment from them, or we can forgive the debt. The reason Christ came in the flesh to the earth was to pay the sin debt that we owed and could never pay. He became our payment. The word says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. It is not atoned for, and the debt is still owed. In his loving kindness, Christ died and shed his blood so that debt would be paid in full before God. We are free from debt. So why are we talking about forgiveness? Because it's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. And because of what Jesus teaches us about forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer. He says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. The word tense that Jesus chooses to use here is very telling. First, he teaches us that we should ask for forgiveness for our sins. It's not a one and done. We don't come to the Lord for salvation, forgive us of our sins, and never ask again, right? We have to keep short accounts with the Lord. So I know that Jesus has paid it all, past, present, and future. But that doesn't keep me, when I mess up, from going back to God and saying, forgive me, I failed you again. Second, Jesus says, forgive as we have forgiven. And the idea here is that when we come to ask God for forgiveness, we need to have already forgiven the debts that created by others. Forgive us as we have forgiven. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before the Most Holy One someday with sin clinging to me simply because I refused to forgive. And I know that some of you are feeling the prick of conviction right now, because you know you are holding on to unforgiveness in your heart. And you're probably justifying it in your mind right now by saying something like, Carmen, you don't know what they did to me. What they did is unforgivable. And I understand that because I'm human. And frankly, I've had a lot of things happen to me in my life that have felt unforgivable. But before you choose to live in that place of unforgiveness, I want to share some things with you. First, I want to tell you what modern science has to say about unforgiveness. I'm reading from an article written by a doctor who serves at Johns Hopkins Hospital. She says, there's an enormous physical burden to being hurt and disappointed. The chronic anger resulting from unforgiveness puts your body into fight or flight mode, which results in numerous changes in heart rate, blood pressure, and immune response. The article says studies have found forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health, lowering the risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol levels, improving sleep, reducing pain, blood pressure, anxiety, depression, and stress. If we start forgiving, we can throw away our prescriptions. Did y'all know this? It's medically proven that forgiveness makes you both healthier and happier people. And isn't that what we want out of life? Most of us would say, what do you want from life? I want to be healthy and happy. Here it is. The article continues as follows. Forgiveness is not just about saying the words. It is an active process in which you make a conscious decision to let go of negative feelings, whether the person deserves it or not. As we release the anger, resentment, and hostility, we begin to feel empathy. This is science, y'all. Compassion, and sometimes even affection for the person who has wronged us. I believe that God has created us in this way. So forgiving can make us feel better about the person who wronged us. Although if we are clinging to unforgiveness, I'm willing to bet that some of us vision. Katie, in all her creativity, I took what was playing through my mind. She took those words and put them into pictures so that you guys could see what God had put them in. This is a story about some of the stuff that is happening to you guys right now. So here I am, and I am thin. I love it. I am saved from both the guilt and power of sin. I am happy. I am growing in the Lord. I'm living my best life until, now watch this, so that I don't have to uncover the sins of another, I'm going to make up a scenario that has likely happened to each of us. This is my friend, and we love each other. And one day, we have this massive disagreement, and things are said, and things are done that are very hurtful. And as arguments tend to do, division is created, and we are no longer in deep fellowship. The truth is, we're no longer speaking to one another. And it's in this moment right here that I have a decision to make. I can forgive what that person did and the debt that it created, or I can hold on to it, demanding payment from the person who harmed me. Now, Jesus shared a parable in the 18th chapter of Matthew that illustrates this choice perfectly. Beginning in verse 21, it says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Up to seven times?'" Now, Peter, if y'all know anything about his personality, he thought he was being great and magnanimous. "Seven times, Lord?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged. 'I will pay back everything,'" which was a lie because he couldn't. Not in that lifetime or 10 more. The debt was too big. But the servant's master took pity on him. He canceled the debt and he let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and he began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." And he probably could have. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. So when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went to their master and told him everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tormented until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how your heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Y'all, that ought to put the fear of God in us. Forgive them 77 times for the same offense. But we don't listen. We see this enormous debt that have never could have been paid. And we see the king forgiving it just because the servant asks. And you would think that would make them so grateful that they would go right out, find everybody that owed them anything and say, "You are good with me. I have just been forgiven for more than I could ever have repaid. What you have doesn't amount to anything. I forgive you. We are done." But that's not what he did. Not even close. He goes to his friend who owes him the debt and he has him thrown into prison over it. This does not escape the notice of the king because people are telling on him. And you know what? When we do this, it doesn't escape God's notice either. The king says, "Sell everything the man has, even his family." Then when that's not enough to pay the debt, the servant is handed over to be tormented until the debt is paid. Do you know when that's going to be? Never. This is eternal. Jesus is showing us a picture of who we are when we refuse to forgive and what can happen to us because of it. I said earlier that we owed God a debt that we could never pay, so he paid it himself. He let us off scot-free, and we, like this wicked servant, want to hold things against those who have harmed us that are nothing in comparison to the culmination of the sins we have committed. So let's go back to my story. Knowing how God feels about forgiveness is not enough to move me to do the right thing. In this time of choosing, in this moment, I choose anger. The Bible says, anger is not a sin. Be angry and sin not. Do not let your anger, do not let the sun go down on your anger. But do not give the devil an opportunity. That's Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. And according to this verse, holding on to anger gives the devil an opportunity to work in your life. So when we let anger and hurt cause unforgiveness, we are giving the devil an open door of opportunity to work against us. Despite all this, I decide I'm never gonna forgive this person. In fact, I just can't let it go. I'm gonna build this wall, and it's gonna keep me away from this person. They can never get close to me again. And then time goes by, and I still can't let it go. And I nurse those feelings of anger and resentment, and I continue to build and build. And what happens is I have created a wall to keep the person out that has become a prison that is keeping me in. I become shackled to unforgiveness, and I'm stuck in the past. I can't move forward because of it. And here is what is really sad about this scenario. Look at the person I chose not to forgive. They are free. They are enjoying their life. They may have even forgotten what happened between us. We think that unforgiveness is keeping them in their place, but it's actually imprisoning us. The unforgiveness I'm holding on to is turning into bitterness in my soul, which makes me caustic and sarcastic and condemning and nasty. And these bleed out into my other relationships, causing problems with others. And the thing about these types of emotions is we can try to hide them, but they're going to bubble up and out when we least expect them or want them to. Because bitterness has taken root and it distorts the way we see life, right? So before we know it, we end up in this impenetrable fortress that we cannot get out of, which is keeping us from the very health and happiness that we want out of life. I want to get real with you for a second. Remember the picture of the person and where they were, that person that we chose not to forgive. They are never going to be in prison with us. 2 Corinthians 2:10 and 11 says, also. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to one of his churches, but again, we learn forgiveness is tied to Satan's ability to work in our lives. And we hang on to the grudge thinking it somehow protects us. But in reality, we become bitter prisoners who have given Satan legal grounds to work in our lives. The truth is, he probably had his hand in the initial offense because he knows how to push our buttons. He's been watching us our whole lives. And he knows the proclivity of sins of others. So all he has to do is whisper in their ear, get them to say something that offends you, and let human nature take its place. He knows if he can keep us bound and unforgiving, that we will never live our lives in joyful service to the Lord. And that's exactly where he wants us to be if we are a believer. So how do we remedy the situation? If we have imprisoned ourselves in unforgiveness, how do we get free? First, we have to seek forgiveness from the Lord. As much as we want to be the wounded party in this, we have sinned. God forgave us everything, and we decided that others were unforgivable. Next, we have to make the hard choice to forgive. All those health issues, the bitterness, and the hindered fellowship with God are not worth hanging on to it. So how do we forgive? We make the conscious choice. And when we're not able, we ask the Lord to make us so. Forgiveness is not easy. And sometimes we can't do it alone. Next, we look at the offense. Honestly, we don't diminish it. We don't diminish the hurt that it caused or how harmful it was. We look at it in all of its ugliness, and then we decide we're going to let it go. Lastly, we have to keep doing steps 1 and 2. We have to choose to forgive again. We have to ask God to help again, and we have to acknowledge the depth of the offense. Because forgiveness, just like it's not a one-time deal with us, with God, it's not a one-time deal when we choose to forgive others.
So when we think about that issue and it begins to get us all spun up again and we see that we're angry, more forgiveness needs to be had. And we have to choose to do it over and over again. It's not easy, but it's worth it, because in doing so, we are set free to live the life that God wants for us. So we have a choice to make today. We can continue to live in unforgiveness and all the health issues it brings. We can continue to be bitter human beings who bubble over in anger when we least want to. We can remain spiritually bound and continue allowing the enemy to have free rein to work against us in our lives. Or we can make the choice to forgive and be free. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for teaching us about the power of forgiveness and why your word commands us to forgive. For those you are working on today who know they need to make the choice to forgive, I pray you will give them the power and ability to want to in this moment. Give them the desire to be free, and pray with me. Lord, forgive us for those places where we have chosen to hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness. We have no right to hold over others when you have so freely forgiven us all things. May the chains that have kept us bound fall from us in this moment as we seek your forgiveness. Cancel out the ground the enemy has taken in our lives because of this sin. Set us free. Your word promises that for freedom you have set us free. You don't want us bound to anything or anyone but you. We choose freedom today, Lord. And when those feelings of anger and bitterness come back, help us to choose to forgive all over again. Lord, we choose to do good to those who have misused us. We pray a blessing over them today. Set them free from their debt, knowing that you will repay justly according to your desire and your will. Make us over in the image of Jesus, and let us walk from this place no longer tied to our past. We thank you for what you have done, and we take our unforgiveness, our hurts, our bitterness, our anger, and every selfish emotion. We place them at the cross today, and we reckon them as dead, that we may go out of here living in your resurrection power. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen.